you in the whole 6010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Happy Wednesday, November 4th. Field Yates, Mike Clay, Daniel Dopp, and star Fanya Bell here to bring you the best and latest information on all things injury-related. She is dialed in today. She has promised us her best and latest information. Good morning, Stefania.
Oh, hello, Stefania. Good to see you.
Hey, look who it is.
All right, looking good, Stefania. Appreciate you joining us today. Really cool.
Yeah, very nice of her, huh?
Yeah, it is really nice of her. I appreciate you dressing up, too. Wore your nice reflective white, which is great. I appreciate that one, your Sunday whites.
Yeah, I'm also excited for the 49ers tomorrow, Stefania. It should be a good game.
I know. It's going to be a really tough one, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Packers, yeah.
It'll be cool. Maybe Nick Mullins takes over as a quarterback full time, huh?
One of those jokes that definitely plays out way better when you're watching the show and not listening to it on a podcast, because rather than Stefania, we actually have a cone here sitting in her place. The cone has really, he's animated, or she, he or she is animated, insightful. Very much following all news. No, we do not have Stefania today. She will be back tomorrow as we get into a Thursday night preview. It'll be Mike and I hanging out with you today and tomorrow as well. And we will preview tomorrow night's game tomorrow. But we do have some injury updates that do tie into that game. So for those that have been following other topics, and let's be honest, it's been a critical 36 or so hours in our country. So you may not have been dialed in on all things football recently. The Packers have some concerns in their backfield. A.J. Dillon, their second-round pick out of Boston College, their third-string running back, tested positive on Sunday for COVID-19. It was from the round of testing that took place before the games, but the testing results were not turned around in time for the game. So because of that, there's a risk. There's a risk every day, obviously, for all of these players. Two other Packers were deemed high-risk close contacts to A.J. Dillon, who, despite testing negative, will not be available for 5 days for the team. And, of course, when you play on Thursday night and the close contact began on Sunday, that means you're out for Thursday night. One of those players was Jamal Williams, who has been the starter over the past 2 weeks, because Aaron Jones has been out with a calf injury. Now, Aaron Jones left practice what will be 2 weeks ago tomorrow. So 13 days ago, we had Aaron Jones pop up in the injury report with what was described as a very minor calf injury. We're now looking square into the possibility, Mike, of Aaron Jones missing 3 games with a very minor calf injury. It's at least possible. Now, I don't think we are at the point now where we can say definitively that he'll be out, but it's at least possible that Tyler Irvin and Dexter Williams, are those Packer running backs?
They are the Packers running back.
Wow, okay.
They are.
I just started reading names off the list.
Well, here's the thing. Dexter Williams is still on the practice squad as of right now. Tyler Irvin has lined up at wide receiver on 93 of his 100 snaps this season. Yeah. So they don't really have any running backs at this point. Of course, that will change soon. And let's talk about these two guys. What can you expect from them? Dexter Williams is 5'11", 212, whereas Tyler Irvin's 5'10", 192. You should get the picture right away from the size, how they're going to be deployed. Williams will be the early down back. He should handle a bulk of the carries here. And in fact, that's what we've seen from Irvin in his career, by the way. 4 carries, 8 targets this season, 100 carries, 31 targets in his season. Like I said, he plays a lot of wide receiver. He's the pass catcher from the group. Dexter Williams, even in college at Notre Dame, not much of a pass catcher. I don't expect that will change. Again, a sixth-round pick last season, hasn't played a snap this season, did play a handful last season. So my projection, 13 carries for Williams here, 2 or 3 targets, and 5 carries and 4 or 5 targets for Irvin. For me, the preferred flex here is Williams. It's close, but I would go that direction. Again, if they fall behind, you'll probably see a lot of Tyler Irvin out there. But I think that Williams is
the better
chance.
But you really expect them to fall behind against a Nick Mullins-led 49ers offense with no George Kittle, no Deebo Samuel, and all the injuries they've had. So maybe game script will work in Dexter Williams' favor. Again, Aaron Jones could still play. We'll have a much clearer picture tomorrow when we preview the game in full. But at least familiarize yourself with Tyler Irvin and Dexter Williams. Perhaps you added them on the waiver wire. As I mentioned, Tevin Coleman also out, but Deebo Samuel out for week 9, George Kittle, Jimmy Garoppolo, they're headed to IR. So we've talked about teams that have been really, really depleted this year. Philadelphia, Dallas, San Francisco, the three of them are kind of in a tier unto themselves. not the kind of tier that you want to be in, but injuries have hit them hard. We did talk about Kendrick Bourne a little bit on yesterday's show, maybe a potential fill-in option that we'll get into a little bit deeper during Thursday's preview. And this was sort of a surprise. Yesterday, just before the trade deadline came to a close, the Dolphins made a trade for DeAndre Washington, the Chiefs running back, who at one point was a pretty productive player for the, well, the Oakland Raiders at the time. Signed this offseason, eventually elevated to the active roster. He gets traded for a conditional pick, and you're wondering to yourself, the Dolphins kind of already have a lot of running backs. And then we learned, moments after the trade was completed, that Myles Gaskin is banged up. It's reportedly a sprained MCL. I'm no Cohn and Stefania Bell, so I can't tell you exactly how much the time frame is, but the first indicator will be if he goes to IR. And when you trade for a running back, clearly you have some concerns about this being more than just a one-week thing, because DeAndre Washington's not playing this weekend. I don't even know if he's eligible to play based off COVID-19 protocols. Mike, with DeAndre Washington in the fold and Myles Gaskin out for some period of time, how would you size up this Dolphins backfield?
Yeah, it's interesting because Matt Breida and Jordan Howard were their big offseason acquisitions, right, at running back, and neither of them won the job. We were kind of wondering how would those two split the backfield. Neither of them won the job. It was Myles Gaskin was just taking on more and more as the weeks went on. In fact, over the past three Dolphins games, Jordan Howard was a healthy scratch, and in those games, Gaskin played 118 snaps. Breida was clearly second in line, 45 snaps, had 19 carries and three targets. He's primarily, even with San Francisco, has not been much of a pass catcher. He's primarily done much of his work as a rusher, as a speed player, a big play guy, a change of pace back. And I think that he's going to have to do more than that here. I have him projected for 13 or 14 touches. He's 24th at running back on my board. But I'm worried that he's not going to be a threat near the goal line. In fact, so far this season, if you look at Dolphins running back carries inside the five, 8 for Jordan Howard, who again has been a healthy scratch for 3 games, 4 for Myles Gaskin, 0 for Matt Breida, who has not even been a candidate for touches or certainly carries near the goal line. But again, I think there'll be enough volume in this offense for him to be a flex option.
Matt Breida was traded for a 5th-round pick this offseason. That's what they sent to San Francisco to acquire him on a 2nd-round restricted free agent tender, which is about $3.2 million. That's a pretty good chunk of money to be paying for a guy that has played sporadically this year. And I mention that only because you wonder if at least the evaluation for Miami prior to how things have unfolded through the first 8 weeks was that he could be a pretty impactful part of our offense. Obviously, he has incredible speed. I would guess that Next Gen Stats has him amongst the fastest players in the league as a ball carrier over the past few years. And also beyond that, you know, again, desperate times call for desperate measures here. I want Matt Breida to be the guy here. I want him to be a thing for a few weeks, but I think the signs are probably leading us towards this being a legitimate backfield by committee, and maybe we'll have a better evaluation of this if we get word that, you know, Myles Gaskin is definitely 4 to 6 weeks or definitely going to be back within 3 weeks. We'll sort this out a little bit more, but for now, if you had the opportunity, hope you grabbed Matt Breida off of the waiver wire. Really interesting week, Mike, and I know you weren't on the show yesterday, but I sort of coined this week is that, like, there are a lot of running backs in the waiver wire this week. A lot. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure any of them are perfect options, really. I mean, as a matter of fact, it's sort of like, what mitigating factor do you care about the least? It's sort of how I view the best options on the waiver wire, right? So I think J.K. Dobbins probably a clear-cut number one. At the same time, like, if Mark Ingram plays starting this week and it goes back to a 3-man split, you move on down. Damian Harris could be a good week 9 play because they play the Jets, and then he might be useless in the game against Baltimore when they might be behind big. So, anyways, pick your poison is how I would describe the running backs on the waiver wire this week, and Matt Breida is amongst that group.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, as people here, you know, Daniel as well, ranking running backs, you know that once you get down to a 12, 13, it's every week, it's complete, you know, it's like a new guy, it's a new batch of players every single week. So we often say fantasy football is a weekly game, and that is very much the case when picking your RB2, really your RB1 at this point, because there's been so many injuries. It's pretty, like, we thought, okay, Myles Gaskin, maybe at a household name, but at least you have a high floor, and he's been healthy, and he's been, you know, he's a reliable player. Now he's down too. It's just nonstop at that position.
Yeah, it is always difficult to find running backs in fantasy. Thankfully, we have Christian McCaffrey coming back this week. We'll talk about that in just a little bit on the show. But one more piece of news, a bad season for the Cowboys just got worse as Andy Dalton has been placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. And obviously that means he's out for this upcoming weekend's game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But it's not just that Andy Dalton is out. It's also that the Cowboys are considering another quarterback change. So Ben DiNucci started on Sunday night against the Eagles. He went 21 for 40 with probably more mistakes than positive plays for the entirety of the game. And now it sounds like the team is considering yet another change at quarterback. We just don't know who it'll be. Garrett Gilbert, who was he AAF or XFL?
One of those.
Yeah. A former non-NFL starting quarterback. And also Cooper Rush, who was he claimed or was he signed? He was signed by the Giants. He was with the Giants. I think he might have been claimed off of waivers by the Giants late last year or early this offseason. He ends up getting cut. He finds his way back to the Cowboys practice squad. So he's on the practice squad right now, and he could start this upcoming Sunday, Mike. So Matthew and I actually closed the show or came to the end of the show yesterday, and we're talking about whether there's any Cowboys player that you could play this weekend with Ben DiNucci against the Steelers. I don't know that Cooper Rush or Garrett Gilbert would be an upgrade or downgrade, but are we at the point now where you need to fade all Cowboys?
I mean, Zeke, I think, and again, we're going to get into Zeke and Cooper a little bit later, so I won't spend too much time on it, but I think Zeke's a lock for your lineups. Cooper is a close call at this point. I mean, he did have two good games before last week, before he just wasn't targeted in that game, which he was not shadowed, by the way, but and Michael Gallup had a ton of targets last week. So
weird, right? You know, weird.
It's super random, but I don't think any of them, other than Zeke, are an absolute lock, but it depends on your options. Like I said, there's so many guys hurt. I mean, you're probably trying to fill out your flex spot. There's four teams on a bye. You may not have a better option than some of these guys as flex players.
Yeah, it's a weird year to have a three wide receiver league that also includes a flex in its PPR scoring, because on paper, again, there are more wide receiver options than there are running back options, but if you're starting Amari Cooper, you're fearful of like a 2.5-point outing. Daniel, I did not mean to cut you off. You had your hand raised for a question.
No, I was going to say we're going to talk about both Zeke and Amari Cooper a little bit later in the show, so it's going to be perfect to break down exactly what you guys think from that standpoint.
Yeah, we have much more on those guys coming up in just a few moments, plus plenty of other rankings discussions that will begin with quarterbacks in just a moment. But first, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy, though? Bundling prices with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
You know the pressure you feel heading into a fantasy draft?
Yes.
You want to make sure you're picking the right guys to get the job done. Because whatever your strategy is, at the end of the day, it all comes down to who's on your team. Well, we really needed something like ZipRecruiter for fantasy football. They don't make that yet. But ZipRecruiter in the real world makes hiring easier than ever. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter sends your jobs to over 100 of the web's leading job sites, scanning thousands of applicants and actively inviting the most qualified candidates to apply. That way you can hire the right people fast. In fact, four out of five employers who post on ZipRecruiter find a quality candidate within the first day. Imagine if we had something like that during our fantasy drafts. We'd never lose. Try ZipRecruiter for free today when you post your job at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Confirmed, Garrett Gilbert. Started for the Orlando Apollos of the AAF back in the day.
There you go.
Maybe we'll have more on him this upcoming week if he does, in fact, get the Cowboys' starting job. But let's begin our quarterback rankings with the quarterback on the other side of that game, which is Ben Roethlisberger. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, Ben Roethlisberger facing off against the downright miserable Cowboys defense. He's got to be a roster lock this week, which is why I have him at 7th in my quarterback rankings. Daniel and Mike were tepid expectations, both having him at 12th. I'm assuming that this has zero to do with the matchup. It's more that Ben is kind of like what Teddy Bridgewater has been this year and Phillip Rivers has been, maybe except for last week, where even in a good matchup, the ceiling is kind of tapped here for Ben from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, and what we've seen this year is quarterbacks who can throw multiple touchdowns. And look, a decade ago, if that happened, you're like, okay, that's great. I'll take that every week. You can't get away with that anymore, right? You can't turn the ball over. You have to add value with your legs to really have a high ceiling as a quarterback. That's just the nature of the position. And Big Ben fits that profile. Look, he has not posted a weekly finish better than ninth this season. That came all the way back in week one. He's finished 17th or worse in four of his seven games, including three straight. And he has two-plus passing touchdowns in six of seven games, to my point. 233 passing yards a game, no rushing profile whatsoever. I mean, that hasn't added up to much success for him in fantasy. And you mentioned the Cowboys' defense, 17 or fewer fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks for their past five games. So, you know, with teams running against him, they actually have not allowed much fantasy production to that position. Yeah. It's a lot of its volume, bottom five in attempts, completions, and passing yards against. And look, I think we all agree that Pittsburgh probably wins this game, right? Maybe by a decent margin. That's going to mean a lot of running the football and not a lot of opportunity for Big Ben. And this is not quite the pass-heavy offense of a few years ago.
Okay, maybe I need to readjust some things here. But I still have a lot of confidence for the possibility that Ben could go for like 337 with three touchdowns.
Sure.
Even with zero rushing impact, even with a pick in there, Ben could certainly cash in. You said that we think the Pittsburgh Steelers will win this game. How about this? The Cowboys are a double-digit home favorite for the second time in the Super
underdog,
Bowl era. I meant
underdog.
That would be weird if I call them a favorite and I also talk about how they're going to get smashed. Yes, the Cowboys are a big-time underdog in this game. All right, Cam Newton's kind of a tricky one from fantasy this year because you got to sort of distance yourself from what it looks like in real life to what it looks like in fantasy box scores. You can say what you want about Cam over the past three games, and it would probably be accurate. He's been bad as a thrower. He has zero passing touchdowns. He has five interceptions during that time. That being said, Cam is still an effective fantasy quarterback in a lot of weeks. And I think there's a chance for a very effective week this upcoming week against the Jets. Cam Newton has my 11th ranking amongst quarterbacks. He's 16th on your board, Mike. A little bit less optimistic. Do you think this Jets defense can be stingier for some reason? Or is it just because the passing has been so ineffective?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The Jets are, I thought they might cover last week because they held the Bills out of the end zone.
I know, amazing, you know, right?
They allowed eight field goal attempts, zero touchdowns. So I thought maybe they'll be not completely awful, and you know they would cover 20 points. They couldn't do that, but anyway, Cam specifically, three total touchdowns in his past four games, two total passing touchdowns on the season, which is unbelievable.
I know, yeah.
Over 175 passing yards in one of his six games, and yeah, early in the season, a pair of top six fantasy weeks. Since then, 11th or worse in four straight games. So even though he has had some value as a rusher, hasn't had the fantasy performances. Now, as for the Jets, you know, to your point, 10th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Now, here's their competition, though. I thought this was interesting. So they were lit up by Josh Allen twice. Obviously, okay. They've been super pass heavy. They've been effective offensively. Kyler Murray and Patrick Mahomes. So that's pretty tough. I mean, four of their games have been against essentially four of the best fantasy quarterbacks. Otherwise, they've been below average in what they have allowed to the other five quarterbacks they have played. All five of them were below their season average. So, you know, it really is dependent on the competition. It really thinks of depends on what, I guess, you think of Cam Newton in this game, but I don't trust him right now. I don't trust him the way he's playing.
I get that. One thing I don't, and so I think about things that like haven't happened up to this point in the NFL season, and I'm like, it's just not going to happen, right? So, for an example, I'm at the point now with the Rams running backs that I'm like, I don't want to try to size them up week to week and put a whole bunch of effort into it because we just don't know, right? And there's a good chance we may never know this season, Mike. I don't think there's a very good chance that Cam Newton is going to have four passing touchdowns for the entire season. And that's where I know he hasn't played in every game for the Patriots. He missed one and they've had their bye, obviously. But he's got to at some point. Like, I can't imagine. Like, it's weird that we're like counting on him throwing a passing touchdown as like an accomplishment. At some point, it's got to get right. And I think the weather. We live in New England, so we know the weather. Like, I don't believe the weather will be the same concern that it was last week, as we actually have this weird week of 70-degree weather heading our way in New England. Woohoo! Monday Night Football maybe brings a little bit of juice here, and I know that, like, they're not the Chiefs, but the Patriots' passing offense actually looked more competent than I thought it would last week with pieces in place that I don't know if, like, the average football fan would know any of them, right? Like,
right.
I'm not saying it was great, but, like, Jacoby Myers, like, had a pulse this past Sunday. Like, they threw the ball a little bit better than I expected them to, right?
No, I agree with you. It was nice to see Myers doing something. He's been one of those weird guys where he looked like they found a gem in the process. You know, he was undrafted last season. Hasn't really done much, and he kind of faded into the background this offseason, of all offseasons, but now he's kind of replacing Julian Edelman.
Right, kind of a big slot player, right?
Yeah, right. So,
but then again,
I hear
you. Traded for other big slot guy in Isaiah Ford.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll say this. If there's a week where he's going to get back on track, it might as well be this one. So I hear you, but I still think there are, in my estimation, 15 better quarterbacks. If you want to say there's only 10 better quarterbacks, fine. You know, I'm not going to argue with you on that, but again.
Yeah, I guess I went into a much longer explanation, but I probably could have kept it simple. It's the Jets, and I feel like there's a chance that Cam could account for 255 total yards, a rushing touchdown, and a passing touchdown, and that right there could easily lead you to 22 fantasy points.
And they did just trade Avery Williamson, by the way.
Which
did,
yeah, another piece of their defense.
Full-time inside linebacker that's gone, and that should help him, of course, running the football.
Totally, yeah. By the way, not fantasy relevant. The Jets are certainly a disaster, and I don't believe Adam Gase is long for the job as the head coach there in New York. This probably won't. It does not change anything for right now. Joe Douglas is doing a fine job for the New York Jets. I really believe that Joe Douglas will get this thing on track in New York. Again, neither here nor there. Just filing that away for any Jets fans that listen to the program.
Agreed.
Ryan Tannehill is an interesting one this year, Mike, because it wasn't long ago that we were saying to ourselves, like, why don't we rank Ryan Tannehill into the top 10 every single week? The good news is that even though it hasn't been as pretty for Ryan Tannehill over the past couple of weeks, Tannehill seems to have developed a pretty high floor. Problem is, he plays a really good defense. I don't know that there are a lot of good defenses this year in the NFL. There might be like, what, three or four probably?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, Baltimore.
Yeah. Chicago, probably the Chiefs at this point, the way they're playing.
Yeah, but I mean, still, like, let's say it's four, five, six, whatever the number is. Sure. The Colts are good defense. Yeah, there aren't a ton of them. This is one of them. So if you have been potentially riding the hot hand of Ryan Tannehill, would this be an opportunity to fade here this week?
Absolutely. I'm QB 17, so much like Cam Newton, not a guy I feel great starting this week. He is QB 8 on the season, fine. He's had three top 8 weeks. That's good. The bad is he's been 14th or worse four times, and that's why we don't rank him automatically as a QB 1 every single week. Again, to the point I made on Big Ben, he has two or more touchdowns in 6 of 7 games, so he is still throwing touchdowns, but again, it hasn't led to consistent fantasy production. It's just the nature of the NFL this season with so many running quarterbacks. And also, to your point, the Bears' fifth fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. They've only allowed 8 passing touchdowns despite facing the 10th most pass attempts. So teams are throwing on them. They're not converting. They're just really good on that side of the football. And I thought they might take a little bit of a step back, right? A year removed from Vic Fangio leaving, and they didn't quite have quite the juice. Seemingly defensively, some players had rough 2019s, were hurt.
Khalil Mack included.
Yeah, absolutely. But no way. Yeah. You know, they bounced back in a big way.
Yeah, they're just deep at basically every spot. And the run defense hasn't been perfect this year without Eddie Goldman, but they've rounded into shape overall as a defense. All right, now let's have some fun. Let's talk about some positive things. Christian McCaffrey is expected to be back this week for the Carolina Panthers. And it's a huge spot for them, obviously going to Arrowhead to play the Chiefs. Ding. We have our running back rankings out for the weeks, and I have him at 1 on my board. Mike, you have him at 3. Daniel also has him at 1. There's no way, absolutely no way, that you are sitting Christian McCaffrey this week unless Matt Rhule came out and said, hey, we're playing Christian McCaffrey on Sunday, but he gets 10 total snaps maximum. That's the only way that you would ever sit Christian McCaffrey. But what's your sense? It's not a sense. What's your guess? Mike Davis, over under 8 touches on Sunday.
I will say under. I'm pretty sure I have him projected around 6, which is probably going to be a high number going forward once McCaffrey gets rolling. But the only reason I have McCaffrey a couple spots lower than you guys is because I think maybe he's a little bit limited in his first game back. Just a little bit. Maybe it's 5 snaps or 10 snaps, or maybe 5 touches. But I think under on Davis.
Also, I mean, like Dalvin Cook, no shame in having him
exactly
top of your board. He's been pretty good. He had 4 touchdowns this past week, in case you missed that happening. But all aboard Christian McCaffrey if he does play on Sunday. And right now, it would be a major surprise if he does not play, Daniel.
What is it that managers of Mike Davis do at this point, right? You've held on. You've helped him get, like, you've used him to have a good winning record. And now you're at a spot where, like, do you just wait and see? Is that all that we're at, Mike?
Is there a more valuable insurance policy in fantasy right now?
No.
I don't think so. I mean, we had, you know, you think about guys like an Alex Mattison who underwhelmed in his
shot,
but still, I think he would be fine. Tony Pollard, there's a few, but Davis is in that conversation, right? So is 100%. He a guy you absolutely have to keep on your bench in 10-team leagues and even 12 teams?
Yeah.
I don't think so, but there's a reason you have a bench, and it's to keep high ceiling players like that and,
agreed,
you know, recent first round picks at receiver, guys like that. That's his role right now. That's,
yeah,
his job.
I'm not Stefania Bell. But again, a high ankle sprain. And I know that it's a whole new injury that Jimmy Garoppolo is dealing with. But remember, Jimmy Garoppolo is an example of a player that had a high ankle sprain, came back. Now he has another ankle issue. Now, to be clear, Kyle Shanahan said yesterday, this is a whole new injury. But I think we have seen in the past that a high ankle sprain is something that can leave players vulnerable going forward.
Yeah, I'm absolutely. Just want to throw in one more nugget on McCaffrey here, because this is crazy. Think about this. If you get 22 fantasy points from your any player, that's really good, right?
Really good. I mean,
just, you're like, if you get that out of a player, you're just like, that's a great week. He's had McCaffrey has had at least 22 fantasy points in 15 of his past 16 games.
Oh my gosh.
That's an unbelievable floor.
Do you remember at the first, now this feels like 12 years ago, but the first 2 weeks of this season, do you remember the feeling on McCaffrey? It was like, eh, haven't been that great.
This season?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, yeah, and his numbers were still ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
because he had like what, one catch in the first week?
He had 3 for 38 and then 4 for 29 receiving. So that's a big disappointment. But he had 4 touchdowns during that stretch.
Right. You're like, oh man, like Christian McCaffrey.
You're right.
Underwhelming.
You're right.
Yeah. Do you know what I would do right now to have a player who's underwhelming and get me 22 plus fantasy points? Do you realize? Do you
exactly
realize? I am starting Travis Homer on Sunday in one of my lineups. I don't even know if Travis Homer's playing on Sunday.
Yep.
That's the kind of depths that we have reached at running backs every single year, basically, fantasy football. Another good story, though. James Robinson, who has been amazing so far for the Jaguars. They go to Jake Luton, it looks like, at starting quarterback this upcoming weekend. They play the Texans. It's a good matchup here. Any concern whatsoever that with Jake Luton taking over, that this offense just becomes so predictable and so bad and so ineffective that it hurts James Robinson to the point that his value might depreciate by, let's say, like, 8 or 10 slots in overall running back value?
I do have some concerns with him moving forward. I have been, and I think we talked about this last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, about, you know, maybe fielding some trades for Robinson, and that was before the quarterback changed. The reason is his playoff schedule is extremely hard, and you could actually throw Zeke Elliott in that conversation too. Both of them, extremely hard fantasy schedules. But for now, I mean, this week, obviously a must start. He's RB6 on my board. He has a high floor because of all the volume. And let me run through a few nuggets here on the Houston run defense, because this is unbelievable. Third most fantasy points allowed to running backs this season. 149-plus rushing yards allowed in 5 of their 7 games. It's Rayne Robinson's wheelhouse, obviously. 112-plus scrimmage yards allowed in every single game to running backs. At least 1 touchdown allowed in 6 of 7 games. The only issue, I guess, here in this matchup is that their best game against the run was the Jags earlier this season, 112 scrimmage yards and no touchdowns allowed. So they did have some success the first time around. Maybe they will again. But again, even in that game, 112 scrimmage yards. I mean, Robinson, such a high floor play.
Mike, I am in no position to complain about 112 scrimmage yards. When I'm sitting here thinking, can I just get 60 from Zeke Elliott right now?
Right.
I mean, so let's talk about Zeke Elliott. And Daniel mentioned earlier in the show, we're going to get into him. Let's get into him right now. I'm lowest on Zeke. I've got him 15th. You guys both have him at 10. And I fear that I'm way too high on Zeke. Talk me into why, or try to talk me into, because I'm not sure I'll believe it, no matter what you have to say. Why Ezekiel Elliott deserves to be in starting lineups this week? It's an awful matchup.
Mm-hmm.
They have potentially Garrett Gilbert under center. Zeke has been ineffective with a terrible offensive line. The passing game is hard. I mean, there's a little bit of passing game volume, but still, like, not dynamic passing options here. Go ahead and try.
Okay, I'll try. I'm going to start by, to your point, 22 fantasy points per game with Dak Prescott he had. 22 per game.
That's great.
He has a total of 26 in his past 3 games.
You're
not
so
good.
Far,
that is not good.
Yeah.
Now, why do I still have him 10th? Well, first of all, we just laid out the mess that running back is.
Okay.
That's a big problem. So how many 20-touch running backs are there out there? You know, there's very few, right? He had 20 touches last week against the Eagles. And it's Zeke Elliott. We know he's pretty good at football. He's going to get the goal line work. Dallas has, as expected, flipped to a very run-heavy offense since Dak went down. They're the 5th run-heaviest offense, game script adjusted, over the past 3 weeks. And one point on the Steelers, yes, dominant against running backs, but most of that has been shutting down the passing game. They are about mid-pack in terms of allowing rushing production and efficiency. So, again, that's Zeke's wheelhouse. If he can put together 18 carries for 96 yards and find the end zone, he's going to come away with a decent fantasy day. And the volume just kind of adds up to a borderline RB1 for me. But I'll tell you what, I'm nervous too. I could see, you know, we've seen more Tony Pollard lately. I could see 13 for 36 and two catches. I absolutely could see it.
All right, so I want to channel my inner Matthew Berry for a second and give you guys the best reason for optimism here. I play the longest running league that I play in is with my college buddies, and it's a keeper league. It's an auction format as well. So players have contracts that you can extend. They have contract. You know, there are certain contracts that are not eligible for extensions if they've already been extended. In any event, a good friend of mine he's had a tough year. He's got Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey as his two starting running backs, which is really good until both of them go on IR. We're in the midst of a deep negotiations on a deal that looks like it'll go past the goal line, in which I would trade him Zeke, who's got one more year in his contract after this, and upgrade to Christian McCaffrey, who's in the final year of his deal. Tua is also part of this deal, as is Mike Davis. I've got Russell Wilson and Tom Brady. Both of them are okay at football, so I'm okay with Tua going the other way. I have been snake bitten in that league. I'm telling you, like every trade I make is awful. It usually comes back to look like the worst deal the league has ever seen. So if you need some confidence in Zeke, just know that there's a very good chance that deal will get done by the end of the day today.
Okay. That has not moved the needle for me at all. So just in terms of my expectations. Just want to be totally clear on that.
I like how you hung in there through the whole story, though, so politely and waited.
I was waiting for the hook. Where's this going to be?
No, do you think nothing. I should make the trade or what?
I wasn't even thinking about that part of it. So you're
but now you're channeling your inner Matthew Berry.
Yeah, I was just staring over there. I was like, who's over there? Well, the whole time you were talking.
Can I ask this question real fast about
please,
Zeke?
I would love to.
So you see the way that he started the year, right? Three catches, six catches, six catches, eight catches. Is and then Zeke? In the last four, right? 1, 8, 1, and 1. So like they take out that outlier, which unfortunately the eight catches is the outlier in the situation. Why are they not throwing the ball to Ezekiel Elliott?
All right, so two things. There are two ways in which you can get the running ball, the running back involved in the passing game. One is designed screens and like, you know, flare passes and things like that. The Cowboys have so many good wide receivers that it's tough to do that frequently.
Yeah.
The other way that you can get the ball out to the running back in the passing game is dump offs. The problem with the Cowboys is that their offensive line is so bad and their quarterback play is so limited that dump offs work when you've got someone like Tom Brady or Drew Brees, who can hang tough in the pocket, or someone like Carson Wentz, who he's imperfect, certainly, but he can buy time with his legs, and he can find a running back who might be a yard behind the line of scrimmage, but after pirouetting, he gets him the football. I just don't think there's any chance for dump-offs because they're just so bad up front protecting, and the quarterback, whether it's DiNucci or Gilbert, or I can't even think of the names. I just don't think that things are processing fast enough to get those dump offs.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Also, Tony Pollard's snap share is up too.
Yeah.
I'd like to use him in that role a little bit. So I think that's it.
They're busting out all the tricks right now too. Like if you watch, everybody watched that game because it was the only game on at the time. Like the stuff they were throwing was wild. And I wonder if the Michael Gallup thing might be a thing. Michael Gallup had 12 targets this past week. I wonder if it might be a thing there to the sense that like he's still the third most talented wide receiver, but we got to find ways to get him the football in space. And it seemed like some of the touches that you're talking about that Zeke might benefit from are going to go to Tony Pollard and also Michael Gallup.
I think that's why DiNucci only got one start because they're like, we have no plays left. We use them all up.
Dude,
all
it's like Wildcat.
We're all used.
It's literally, it was like the week the Dolphins used the Wildcat against the Patriots back in, what, 2008 or something?
Ronnie Brown, right?
That's right. Cadillac Williams and Ronnie Brown. No, was it Cadillac Williams or was it Ronnie
Cadillac
Brown?
Cadillac and Ronnie, or Cadillac was on the Bucks.
Bucks, right? That's right. You're right. Miami. Ronnie Brown, they were teammates in college.
Yeah, who was it? Ronnie and someone else was there.
Anyways.
Let's
move things forward here. Really interesting conversation in Indianapolis because Jonathan Taylor, we don't have any injury updates right now that are concrete, definitive. Is he limited in practice or not? Right now, I'm ranking Jonathan Taylor like he's going to play on Sunday and like as if he's going to be the player that we saw for the first 7 weeks of the season, not the eighth week of the season, Mike. But how nervous are you in having Jonathan Taylor 22nd on your running back board with the possibility that Jordan Wilkins, who you have long liked.
Yeah, hashtag free Jordan Wilkins.
That's right. Are you concerned about this being either a split backfield now going forward or maybe that Jordan Wilkins is the guy?
I think that the Colts have all the incentive in the world to go back to Jonathan Taylor. Give him every opportunity to be the guy, and I think they will. I think that's what's going to happen here. I have him 22nd on my board. Look, last week it was Taylor early, right? And it was sort of an even share eventually. And then eventually Wilkins just took over that backfield. 21 touches for him, 20 were carries, 38 snaps. Taylor played 25. Nyheim Hines, who had the two touchdowns, only played 16 snaps. So don't get too carried away with that one moving forward. But here's the thing. Even when Taylor has been handling most of the backfield work, he has one weekly finish better than 14th this season. He only has one better than 19th during his past five games, and they're playing Baltimore. Third fewest fantasy points to running backs. They're sixth, they're better in carries, rushing yards, and only two rushing touchdowns allowed to running backs. So it's a tough matchup. We don't know if he's going to be, we don't know how much of the workload he's going to handle, and he already has not been a particularly good RB1, certainly not even a great RB2. So for me, he's a flex option, chance to score a touchdown. Maybe he gets a few targets in a bulk of the carries, maybe. If running back were healthier right now, we might not like him as much, but with the situation that we're in, I think he is a flex.
It's a good thing we have James Robinson. You know why? Rookie running backs are really disappointed in fantasy this year.
Huge.
Yeah.
Really disappointed.
By the way, that is not a surprise. Because
really?
I mean, the whole offseason I was and look, I'm not taking credit for this. I'm just putting the data out there. Over the past decade, round two and round three running backs have not been good in fantasy as rookies. We've seen that over and over again. And you can say, well, what about Nick Chubb, Mike, or Miles Sanders? That's the exceptions. For the most part, those guys were not good as rookies. And
by the way, Miles Sanders, it took like two-thirds of the year before you could actually count on him.
And Chubb as well.
Yeah.
Chubb was playing, what, three snaps a game? Until,
right.
They traded Hyde, right? So,
yeah.
It's just and look, some of these guys will be good down the stretch. You know, we're starting to see some steam picked up for DeAndre Swift and J.K. Dobbins. I think Swift's going to be fine going forward. He played a lot last week. It was just kind of a misleading game script. So I think they'll start to get going in the second half. But again, for these guys to start the way they have, it's just not a surprise. It's what we've seen for a decade now.
Confirmed, by the way, Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams in that wild card.
I was going to say Ricky
Obviously.
Williams.
Obviously. Yeah. That's silly.
All right. I don't know that the Bucs are quite the Los Angeles Rams, but they're close to me in some ways. Is that like guessing the backfield is just really how lucky do you feel? Leonard Fournette is 15th on your board this week, Mike. I've got him at 22nd. So is your belief that, hey, this is going to be a game where they can't run the football effectively because New Orleans not allowed a 100-yard rusher in years? And as a result of that, they're going to need Leonard Fournette in the passing game, and it's clear he has an edge there. Or is it maybe, you know what, that fumble last week, that really is not going to cut it, and we need to just rely on Leonard Fournette going forward?
Yeah, this is really about Bruce Arians and, I guess, Byron Leftwich's burning desire to make Leonard Fournette the guy, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's just clear. Before he got hurt, we were trending this way as well. 71% of the snaps played on Monday for Leonard Fournette. It was not really close with Ronald Jones. 15 carries, 6 targets. Again, Ronald Jones well behind in both of those categories. And if you look at Fournette's past three full games, right, when he was healthy, he made it through the game, he finished 3rd in fantasy points at running back, 14th and 26th. So he's been pretty solid as a fantasy starter goes. To your point, the Saints defense, terrific 6 fantasy points at running back. Most of that, again, is shutting down the run, 3.6 yards per carry. But they've also only allowed between 18 and 33 receiving yards in every game to running backs. It's been in that window in every single game. So it's not like they're getting crushed in that department either. It's a tough matchup, but it's also a very high scoring offense. And he played 71% of the snaps last week. So for me, Fournette, again, that disclaimer, the state of the running back position makes him a viable RB2.
I have a question on the other side of that then, because with the increase for Leonard Fournette and everything you're talking about, that snap count and the usage that he's getting, how is it that you see Ronald Jones on the other side? Is he still worthy of a flex play given all of the touches that are being taken away by Fournette now?
I think so. You know, if he makes a mistake early on, maybe he's a total dud. But again, have I mentioned running backs in rough shape right now? Have I mentioned that at all in this show, like one time?
You know, it's hilarious.
It's enough. There's enough volume there in this offense for him to be a flex.
Do coaches think that putting players, like benching players for fumble, is that like putting them into timeout? So like, are the Bucs really going to say, you know what, Ronald Jones, you fumbled, so you're going to sit the rest of this game, but once we start next week's game, all good, all is forgiven. Is that how it works?
I think it's an excuse.
Or
it's almost
that's
like
it's almost
Arians
like,
is
I,
like,
yes,
get him
fumbled.
Out of there. All
right,
we can go to Fournette now. Because look, if Chris Carson fumbles, guess what? He's right back out there because he's really good. You know? It's just a matter of who they want. And I'll tell you what, if Leonard Fournette did not play in that game, I bet you Ronald Jones would have been right out there on the next drive or, you know, played a bulk of the snaps going forward.
Totally.
But if they need an excuse, that's certainly one of them.
Yeah, it does feel like that's the position where you talk yourself – out of big plays and into bad plays as reasons to keep a guy going more so than other spots across the offense. All right, let's get to Chase Edmonds, who ends up at 8th on Mike's board, 9th on my board. We talked about this a little bit earlier on. Kenyon Drake sounds unlikely, as a matter of fact, all but a certain to miss week 9. Matthew and I had a bit of a spirited debate yesterday about which of these two running backs would present more value for the rest of the season. He sort of thinks that Chase Edmonds takes this job over on Sunday and maybe just kind of keeps the has more value going forward on a points per game basis than Kenyon Drake. I think this might be a rental of the starting job for Chase Edmonds. Where do you net out there?
I wish that I could give you the definitive answer that I think Kenyon Drake will just come and take it back, but he hasn't shown enough, I don't think. But that being said, I feel like he keeps getting the support of the coaching staff, right? Almost like it's not his fault he's doing what we asked him to do. So I think that he sees a few fewer touches if Chase Edmonds really does well, but I don't think he's going to disappear. I think he'll come back and play a pretty significant role, and he has to. Are you going to make Chase Edmonds a 25-touch-a-game guy? No, I don't think you're going to do that. And Eno Benjamin's next up, and Jonathan Ward, those guys aren't real threats to take on substantial work. So I think that Edmonds could outscore him because of how much he's used in the passing game. In fact, think about this. In 4 of 7 games this season, even with Kenyon Drake playing most of those games, Edmonds has 14-plus fantasy points in 4 of the 7 games. So he's already been pretty good, and Kenyon Drake has one good game. So I think at least this week, though, it's lineup lock. Lock him in.
Yeah, I'd say for at least 1 week because Kenyon Drake could be back in week 10. The rising generation of NFL superstars have been dropping dimes and creating in space for years, way before they got to the league. Now it's your turn. Create your own highlight reel with X-Factor abilities and innovative new skill stick control. Swag out and win in style in new backyard football-inspired mode, The Yard. Celebrate your style, showcase your creativity, and rise to fame in a way that only you can. Go all out in Madden NFL 21, available now.
Do you ever feel like you're always on?
Always. Mm-hmm.
These days, everything is just go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. And everyone knows nothing good comes from hustling.
Nothing.
Work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, the expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. All right? That's when you reach for a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors. Watching football is therapeutic to fans. It is uninterrupted me time, and it's just an excuse to chill and drink beer. Coors Light is the official beer of watching any sport or team, just to drink beer. Mountain cold refreshment, and it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill and celebrate with responsibly. Crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Coors Light is the beer to choose when you need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And please don't forget to celebrate responsibly.
More Buccaneers talk. As we head back to our pass catcher rankings, now let's talk about Antonio Brown and Mike Evans. I think the Mike Evans portion may be a little bit easier here than Antonio Brown. So let's actually start there, Mike. You've got Mike Evans 28th on your board. I tell you what, if football were like a two-thirds of 60 minutes, so I guess that would be 40-minute game as opposed to a 60-minute game, Mike Evans really, I mean, struck some fear into people's hearts on Monday night with James Bradbury, as you expected, giving him all he could handle. But he's 28th in your board this week. I think we still are we're fiending for more volume for Mike Evans halfway through the season. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
Agree 100%, especially with Antonio Brown coming back and Chris Godwin's missed so much time as well. At some point, they're all going to be healthy. 29th at wide receiver in target so far, only 34th in yards. One completely bailed out by touchdowns.
Totally.
7 touchdowns, 3.4 is his OTD, so he's doubling that. His career suggests that he will return to earth down the stretch here. He's the number 19 scoring wide receiver. Very disappointing, and I think he draws the Marshawn Lattimore shadow in this game. Now, we're going to get into that tomorrow in depth, so I won't dive too into it, but Lattimore has had his number so far. It is a tough matchup, and that Antonio Brown guy's going, and maybe Chris Godwin. You know, probably looking iffy, but he at least has a chance to go.
Antonio Brown is a complete mystery in terms of how to be utilized on Sunday. Bruce Arians has said it might be 10 snaps, it might be 30 snaps, who knows, and I don't expect him to give us any more information. This much you can trust. Antonio Brown has the trust of Tom Brady. Antonio Brown is going to have enough of an understanding of this offense on Sunday that if pressed into action for 35 snaps, it's totally possible that he could ball out and have 6 catches for 78 yards and a touchdown. That would not surprise me.
Agreed.
So here's my philosophy on Antonio Brown this week. I made him wide receiver 30 by design. The idea being that in a standard 10-team league, not a starter, but probably a flex consideration if you play PPR scoring. And I know this is sort of a cop-out, but my thinking was, it's Antonio Brown. If you were to evaluate all the players on the board, basically from like wide receiver 20 on, and just say like, if the goal is 15 fantasy points, rank these players who have a chance to reach 15 fantasy points. I don't care that he's been there for 5 minutes and that he's still living with Tom Brady because he hasn't even found a house to live in yet. Antonio Brown has a better chance of 15 fantasy points than some of the players that are ranked within 3 to 5 slots of him. So I understand that I'm highest on the board and that leaves me a little bit vulnerable to mislead the public here. But Antonio Brown last year showed it in his first week with the Patriots. He had a grip on the offense. He did have the touchdown in that game against Miami. Tom Brady is going to find Antonio Brown. As a matter of fact, if you go back to last year and you look at that game specifically, I don't know if it was what Josh McDaniels was calling or Tom Brady's intent, but the Patriots made sure right away to get Antonio Brown the ball. Would not surprise me if the exact same thing happens this weekend.
Yeah, and by the way, I have Chris Godwin in my rankings right now. Mm-hmm. So I have him at 40, which is 10 spots lower than you. It's going to be hard not to play him if Godwin doesn't play.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like a decent possibility. Again, I'm holding out a little hope with the projection so far, but we'll keep an eye on that. I'm with you. I think that 7 targets is a pretty good baseline if Godwin is out in this game. Because keep in mind, this is the Saints who can score. It's probably going to be a competitive high-scoring game. We saw a decent number on the board in week 1 when they played. And the Saints have allowed a lot of production to wide receivers, 47-plus fantasy points and 2 or more touchdowns to receivers in each of their past 3 games, or top 5 in touchdowns allowed, yards per target, yards per catch, catch rate, everything. They have struggled against that position. So, again, it'll come down to Godwin before I decide how comfortable I feel with him as a wide receiver 3.
And to be clear, we talk about the idea of league-winning additions. Antonio Brown's a potential league-winning addition. He's Antonio Brown. Say what you want about how this all came together and whether it's the best fit for him or whether the Bucs even need a player at wide receiver. Antonio Brown's a really, really talented football player. Let's pay off the Amari Cooper conversation from earlier on. Again, it sounds like it won't even be Ben DiNucci on Sunday, and it won't be Andy Dalton. It could be Garrett Gilbert. It could also be Cooper Rush. I've got Amari Cooper at 22 on my board. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, what on earth am I thinking? Who's got a better shot at 15 fantasy points this weekend? Amari Cooper with Garrett Gilbert or Antonio Brown with Tom Brady?
Antonio Brown.
Right. I need to rethink my rank. You got him at 24, Mike. So as I mentioned earlier, make the case if you can for Amari Cooper.
Well, here's the case. 3 games without Dak Prescott. 7 catches, 79 yards, and a touchdown. Very good.
Yep.
7 catches, 80 yards, no touchdowns. Also
pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yep.
And 1 catch for 5 yards and no.
Yeah.
That was with Ben DiNucci, who, again, there's obviously a low ceiling for what we were expecting from him. So 2 out of 3 games have still been pretty good. He's still heavily targeted. He's still Amari Cooper after all. He's still going to play a bulk of the snaps. I know he only had the 4 targets last week, but there's certainly a chance that he could push for 10 in this game. And the matchup, it's the Steelers. Not as intimidating as you might think for wide receivers. 8th most fantasy points allowed to receivers. They've allowed 11 touchdowns to that position. That's 4th most, or top 5 in yards per catch, yards per target. 5 of the 7 opposing wide receiver units they face have put up 38 or more points. So I don't know why, but that cornerback room has been exploitable this year so far. So that's the case for Amari Cooper, but is there a low floor, I guess, now? Absolutely.
We saw it on Sunday night. 1
we
catch
sure
for
did.
5 yards. Time to go all out in Madden NFL 21, available now. Madden Spotlight this week surrounds Marvin Jones Jr., the Lions wide receiver, who we expect to be the Lions' number 1 wide receiver on Sunday. Kenny Galladay's got a hip injury that's going to most likely cost him time on the field. Marvin Jones, number 15 on Mike's board. I've got him at 20. Daniel, are you reverse jinxing these things, Daniel?
I am not. I actually am a bigger believer in TJ Hockenson than I am of Marvin Jones right now at this point.
Okay, so you think that Marvin Jones' volume might be better, but not necessarily enough to make him a must start this week?
I think I've watched Marvin Jones this year without Kenny Galladay, and he's not stepped up to be the number 1 wide receiver that I feel like we've seen Marvin Jones do in years past. And so for me, understanding where it is that this offense is, and understanding that this team just sort of is still trying to figure out what their identity is with their coaching staff. And the, after coming off some big wins, it just feels like you fall back to being flat. So I'm just not trusting Marvin Jones in this matchup against Minnesota. I would rather go, you know, a different direction.
Okay. Well, the good
typical,
news is
typical Cardinals fan, Lions.
Oh, my God.
You know, I know about the Arizona Detroit rivalry, and clearly wearing your Cardinals
it's jersey.
It's
a Larry Fitzgerald jersey. Every day is a good day to celebrate Larry Fitzgerald. Let me tell you this, kids. If there's one player you want to emulate in the NFL, it's Larry Fitzgerald. He comes to work, he plays hard, he's really good, and he never goes out there and does any of the stuff that you don't want to hear about. He is absolutely everything that you should try to be if you want to be a football player. Larry Fitzgerald, absolutely incredible. I love Larry Fitzgerald. Every day is a good day to wear a Larry Fitzgerald jersey.
Well, yeah, I just hear him trashing Marvin Jones. That's all
I hear. My goodness, yeah, Mike Clay.
True. That's true. Daniel, not even a real Lions fan. But Marvin Jones this weekend, to make the case, again, no Kenny Golladay. And last week, he did finish strong. Wide receiver 16 last week with Golladay missing almost all of that game. And a reminder that it's the Vikings who kind of rounded into form a little bit defensively last week, Mike, except for the whole pass defense part, because Devontae Adams had 3 receiving touchdowns. Still a very good matchup for Marvin Jones.
Yeah, Marvin Jones has been good as of late. I mean, he had 80 yards in week 7. He had 2 touchdowns last week, which is what you laid out there. And back in weeks 1 and 2, when Kenny Golladay didn't play, now I know the production wasn't great, but the volume was there. He had a team-high 15 targets in that game. If you get 7 or 8 in this game, you're going to be happy with what you get against this Minnesota defense. And the Vikings defense, again, you mentioned the touchdowns to Adams last week. 5-plus weeks, they've allowed 38 or more fantasy points to wide receivers. They've allowed the 3rd-most fantasy points to that position this season. They have struggled against left receivers, wide receivers across the board, and they are not just struggling, they're completely beat up with injuries too. Even Cameron Dantzler went down with an injury. So have you heard of Harrison Hand, Chris Boyd, Mark Fields, Holton Hill? Those are guys that are going to be covering Marvin Jones in this game.
All right, so you like the matchup there for sure from Marvin Jones. Mike Williams' matchup is fine this week. The Raiders haven't, you know, believe it or not, the numbers aren't quite as, I think, damning as maybe the skill suggests for that Raiders secondary. It's an okay group, not a great group. But Mike Williams, he's Jekyll and Hyde, right? So some weeks he'll go crazy, as he did last week when he was wide receiver 11, his second top 15 performance of the year. And then he's got 3 weeks outside of the top 90 for wide receivers. Do we have a formula, Mike, in which we can project which weeks we expect a big Mike Williams week?
I don't think so. And you kind of laid it out, so I won't get into it. I had his stat lines laid out, and they're unbelievable how back and forth he's been. In fact, he has 8 or more targets in his 3 good games. He has exactly 8 targets in his 3 bad ones.
Wow.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's been one or the other all season long. The good news is, and this is why I'm optimistic about him going forward, Justin Herbert has 264-plus passing yards and 3-plus touchdowns in 4 straight games, passing touchdowns.
Yeah.
So he's just been lighting it up through
the
air.
Amazing.
There's an opportunity for more than just Keenan Allen to produce. I mean, Hunter Henry hasn't even been that good in fantasy.
Really hasn't.
So there's opportunity here for Mike Williams. And the Raiders defense, to your point, very young in the secondary, lots of pedigree. At some point, they might break out. We see that all the time. We're seeing it with Tampa Bay this year, right? It takes a couple of years when you draft a lot of young defensive backs at the same time to kind of make that leap. I think that's what's going to happen with the Raiders, but they are exploitable. Bad games against Carolina, Buffalo, Kansas City, and Tampa Bay so far. Not much volume faced by them corners, but they have been very poor in terms of efficiency. So I like Mike Williams. He's top 30 for me.
Quick diversion from the note here. You are our dynasty ranker of note at ESPN. If you were to do quarterback dynasty rankings, how far up your board do you think Justin Herbert lands? You got to figure Mahomes is one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lamar Jackson's still in there. Deshaun Watson's still in there. I know they're having a down year. Kyler Murray's obviously in there.
Yep.
Joe Burrow, very much. I mean, you can still put Burrow ahead of Herbert.
Okay, interesting.
Very good.
Russell Wilson, yes or no?
Russell Wilson's in there. I would still put him ahead. He's just too good.
Yeah, and he could play 8 more years. No one would be surprised by
that,
right?
No question.
Okay, so Herbert, maybe like a
right
top 7-8 consideration at quarterback?
Absolutely, and very high ceiling. So he's great.
Phenomenal.
And I did update my rankings, I think, a week ago, so you can check them out at ESPN.com, and he's right in that mix.
Yeah.
Did you see the article that Russell Wilson spends $1 million on postseason recovery every year?
You know what? I'm not surprised by it, though.
Because he wants to play until he's 45. So, like, listen, if you know right now that this is your job and you love it and you want to have a long, sustainable career, for him to do that now is absolutely what it's worth. It's just like, that's, boy, I'd love to have that kind of money to do that in the offseason. You know?
I look at it this way. If he's willing to put $1 million into his career.
Good for him.
Every year. If he could, let's say he does 12 years of that. He's investing $12 million. That probably prolongs his career by, even if it prolongs his career by one extra year.
Is that one contract going to be more?
That's worth $35 million.
100%.
Right. So, I mean, the return on that investment is substantial. Oh, by the way, like, leads to a great lifestyle for not just you, but your family too, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
You know, he's got him and Ciara have, two children, and plus he, you know, helps raise her son from a previous relationship too. Like, you got a family of five, and, you know, everybody's eating well, right? So it's a pretty good little situation to have personal chefs and masseuse and all that.
So he does that. Have you seen the show Living With Yourself?
Paul Rudd. I have not watched it yet. It's on my
list. That tells you, that explains what Tom Brady does in that show.
Okay.
In the pilot.
That's right. I did hear about this from...
There was a scene. Yeah, okay. But
I remember reading about it on the internet, but that's on Netflix, right?
It is. I just finished it, but it's a pretty interesting show. But anyway, it's kind of a side story about how Tom Brady rejuvenates himself each and every year.
Speaking of players who need to be rejuvenated, let's talk about some Steelers pass catchers to close this thing out.
Okay. All right. So the Steelers wide receivers, quickly. Let's just make this quick because I do want to ask you about tight ends. Mike, rank them for week 9. Juju, Claypool, Deontay Johnson.
No, thanks.
Okay. Good answer.
Yeah, this is tough. I have Claypool 20th, Juju 23rd, Deontay 26th.
Yeah, and they're all in the top 30 for us.
I can go through stat after stat. The fact is, we don't know who's going to get the volume each and every week. I think that they can support any of the three or all of the three, and especially against Dallas, it's possible. Even if Big Ben is not a great fantasy quarterback, that all three could have decent days in this game. So I think Claypool's the preferred choice. And one nugget I will throw in, though, is this is really important. He was the backup to Deontay Johnson the first couple of weeks, and we were nervous that once Johnson was healthy, he would disappear. James Washington has been bumped all the way down to 5th on the depth chart. Ray McLeod, is that right?
Ray McLeod
is running ahead of him as well. So he is now a top 3 receiver. He's on the field for most of the pass plays. That is good, and you can feel pretty decent about him playing him.
Name the set it and forget it tight ends right now in fantasy. Mm. Travis Kelce. George Kittle's obviously out for 8 weeks, so let's just call him out for the season. Yep. Travis Kelce.
Yep.
Darren Waller. Agreed, yes or no?
Yes.
Gronk, yes or no?
Close, and they may change in a week or two with Brown and Godwin there. Okay. So it's close.
Mark Andrews, yes or no?
Yes.
TJ Hockenson.
Yes.
Yeah.
9+ fantasy points every week. Yeah.
Yep. He's crushing it.
Jonnu Smith?
Jonnu Smith is not. Three straight finishes of 25th or worse.
So. Hunter Henry?
No.
Okay. Noah Fant.
I think Fant is right now. Top 14, 5 of 6 weeks.
Hayden Hurst.
Nope.
Wow.
He's been good lately, but I don't think he's a must start.
Is there anybody that I missed there? That's 6.
Yes. Evan Ingram is close, but I say no. Okay. Jared Cook has 3 straight top 10, so he's borderline as well. He's very underrated. Dallas Goedert could be now that he's back after the bye. Keep in mind, Zach Ertz will be back at some point. Mike Gesicki's a no. He's way too inconsistent. Jordan Reed might be. I mean, we'll see. Let's see what he does this week.
Yeah, totally.
But if Kittle's out and he's the guy, I mean, he was tearing it up before he got injured. Even in the game, he got hurt. A healthy Austin Hooper is close. And Eric Ebron, too, has actually been pretty solid as well. He's borderline.
This is like a Matthew Berry top 10 right here.
I'm saying these are no's, but I'm saying this is the point, though, right? I mean, we listed off a few yeses. But this is how many guys are in the conversation. That's why most of them are no's, because there's so many options you have right now.
File this idea away from me, please. Is we need to do, even if we don't release them for 6 months, right at the end of this season, we need to take, I don't know, a few hours and go through some of the conversations that we're going to have again during the offseason that we always do, such as tight end depth will be better this season. But let's do it in January and be like, yeah, you know, like Hayden Hurst could be like a week. He could be like a top 5 tight end this year. And then you're like, oh, wait, that could have happened last year and he was like tight end 14 or something, right? Like, let's have all these conversations that just because we move further away from the end of the previous year, we think they're going to change. We'll never have good depth at tight end. We'll never have enough running backs. We'll always have too many quarterbacks. It will never be worth prioritizing quarterbacks to the point that you draft them in the second round. Let's have those conversations in January when all this information is still fresh in our mind. All right, do we have time for trivia? We have 60 seconds. Kai, you want to give it to us really quickly?
Yeah, we'll do a quick trivia.
Okay.
Oh, unless there is no Kyle. Today, trivia is Russell Wilson is on pace for over 4,900 passing yards and nearly 600 rushing yards. Only one QB has ever had a season with even 4,500 passing yards and 400 rushing yards. Can you name that quarterback? 4,500 passing yards and 400 rushing yards.
Mike, you want to go first?
I have no idea.
I'm going to go with Dan Marino, and I have no clue for
that. I think it's 45, did he?
Oh, that's true. No. It's just crazy. That's right? No, he had one 5,000-yard passing season.
Did he?
I thought he had one.
He had a, but did he run for 400?
He was an athletic guy. All right. I don't know the answer. Mike, you want to venture a guess?
I think it's Jay Cutler. I have no idea who the answer is. Kyle, you want to give us who the answer is? Kyle's still not there. Kyle doesn't
No
exist.
Bubbles.
Kyle's not texting me. What if we just give everybody a question and we don't have an answer?
Dante Culpepper.
Dante Culpepper. Yeah, there we go. I knew it had to be that era. I could not put my finger on who it was.
Great question. Dante Culpepper in 2004. We're back on Thursday.
The most recent top scoring quarterback 2 years in a row.
How about that? Another fun fact for you. We're back on Thursday to preview the Thursday night football game and talk more rankings plus news. We'll see you then. Peace out.
You're in the 06010.